Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
She's got a way. Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Join us right now, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom. Golfdom is ready to serve the local golf market for the 39th golf season. Come see the latest equipment, apparel, shoes, accessories, and more at Golfdom in Tysons or at golfdomgolf.com. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. How's everybody doing?
Hello, John.
Doing okay.
Doing well.
You know, we caught a lot of flack this week from our listeners because we actually had opinions and weren't just Washington Capitals, Tom Wilson cheerleaders.
Right.
What do you make of the situation and how the NHL handled this?
Badly, to start with. Look, there. What the responses you were getting, first of all, are typical of fans. It's not just Caps fans. It's not just Washington fans. Fans everywhere always will defend their guy or their team. And they'll say, but what about what this guy did? But what about what that guy did? You know, if you ask Kentucky fans, basketball fans, if their school ever cheated, oh, no, absolutely not. Was Adolph Rupp a racist? Oh, no, absolutely not. That's what fans do. I get that. And I got a lot of tweets, like you guys did, from people saying, you know, Wilson shouldn't have been suspended, and Panarin was this, and Panarin was that. Wilson, of course, should have been suspended. You start with his track record. Again, I always use this analogy. You get stopped for speeding. If you got no tickets on your record, there's a chance the cop will let you go. If you got 5 tickets on your record in the last however many years, you're going to get a ticket. And Wilson's got a track record of doing stuff like this. The shame of it is that he's such a good player. Mm-hmm. I think it's very likely, maybe not likely, but certainly very possible, he'll be the next captain of this team if Ovechkin ever retires. He's a really good player. And why, when he does this, though, he denigrates himself, he denigrates the team, and when the league lets him get away with it, and you've got this former goon who is supposedly the head of player safety, and he says, well, you're probably saying, well, I used to do stuff like that all the time. And so he doesn't suspend him. That leads to complete havoc on Wednesday. That wasn't a hockey game. That was a brawl. It makes the league look bad. It makes the league, again, look like they're looking the other way at fights, because I got several tweets. You probably did, too. Whoa, what about the TV ratings? Well, that's not what this is about. And it's bad. It's bad for Tom Wilson, because it sends him a message that he can get away with this stuff and that it's okay to continue doing it. It's bad for the Caps for the same reason, and it's bad for hockey. Other than that, I think the league handled it well. Oh, no, let me throw in one more thing. Fining the Rangers $250,000 because they got ticked off about Wilson not being suspended was absolutely ridiculous, and it was one of Gary Bettman's worst moments.
Well, here's what I learned. I thought he was going to be suspended. I thought, you know, he had kind of crossed the line, in my opinion, too. And based on his history, I thought, well, this guy's going to be gone. But what I learned from it, and I'm fine with it, I don't care, is it appears that the league just doesn't care about fights. Like you say, like, they care about boarding hits and borderline hits and that sort of thing. So to me, it was a clear line of demarcation. Maybe, you know, more sophisticated hockey fans are already aware of that. But it was a lesson for me that they don't care about fighting. That's what I got from it.
But, Eric, there's fighting and there's fighting. I mean, yeah, for years, I mean, I remember when I was a kid. going to Madison Square Garden before the Islanders came into existence. I loved it when a fight broke out. And so, you know, the fans would all be on their feet. But there's, I hate to use this word, there's a certain etiquette to fighting in the NHL. You drop your gloves, okay? You know you're on skates. There comes a point where the officials will often let the guys go until their arms are tired. Mm-hmm. But there comes a point, if one guy's really getting pummeled, you step in and you stop it. But you don't try to hit a guy's head on the ice. Okay, that's not fighting. That's mugging. And you're right that that's the message the NHL sent, that, fighting's okay. But the whole thing was just ugly. I mean, not just what happened, but then Wilson, you know, standing there in the penalty box, you know, flexing and saying, look how tough I am. Again, that wasn't smart. Apparently it was smart because he got away with it. But that makes the whole thing look worse. And the NHL has always kind of looked sideways at fighting. You're right about that, Eric. And but again, you have to draw a line. I mean, if two guys square off and have a fight, send them to the box, you know, for 5 minutes, or if you want to throw in a misconduct, whatever. But you can't let guys have their heads pounded into the ice. You just can't.
I am surprised that they didn't suspend him, and I'm wondering why. Because you mentioned he has a track record for a reason. Because
that's right.
When he does stuff, he gets suspended.
The track record is for hits. That's really the, I mean, he
fights. Yeah, I know.
The track
but the
record,
track record
of dirty
is for
play.
Hits.
That's the point that Jason, I think, is making.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody tweeted at me that, well, Sidney Crosby did the same thing the next day. Now, I haven't seen the video of what that incident was. But I doubt if he did the same thing. But let's pretend for a second he did.
It was pretty close.
He has no track record.
Yeah.
Well, he's been in the league for, what, 15 years now? I'm not sure he's ever been suspended, but maybe he's been suspended once. Wilson's been in the league for, what, 6 years? And he's been suspended 5 times. And, again, I go back to the analogy of when a cop pulls you over, your record is going to, in many cases, not all, but in many cases, decide what he does with you.
I just think at the end of the day, listen, I had my whole family watching because I like watching fights. I mean, it wasn't really a hockey game, like you say, but it was fights. But I also found it wanting because these hockey fights, they're usually pretty mediocre, especially when the non-fighters are fighting. I mean, they're like a joke.
Well, they're on skates.
Yeah.
You try fighting somebody when you're on ice skates.
Of course. I'm not
saying,
you know,
and that's, again,
them.
One of the reasons why it's okay when guys square off is because almost all the time, there's a limit to how much one guy can hurt the other.
Because
they're sliding around, they're trying to keep their balance, they've dropped the gloves. The gloves can obviously cut somebody if you keep them on. So, you know, and by the way, that's not the way we should be judging hockey players, is on how well they fight. Although, you know, for years, having one guy, one goon, that's what he was called on the team. Dave Schultz was probably the most famous goon in the history of hockey, and then Clark Gillies totally ended his career as a goon because he pummeled him in a game. And Schultz was like the schoolyard bully who someone finally beats up, and then everybody kind of laughed at him after that. But the teams had goons. This guy, whose name I can't remember, George, what's his name, who's the supposed head of NHL safety, he had like, I don't know how many, 400 and something penalty minutes in his career, and 36 points.
Wow. George Parros.
He wasn't on the team to play hockey. He was on the team to fight.
What was his name, Cakes?
George Parros.
Parros, there you go.
Well, and we had Al May on yesterday, and I agree with him. There's a lot of, and who knows, maybe they just block it out and they pummel Philly tonight, but there's a lot of noise around the team. That's the word he used, because of the Wilson stuff, because of Kuzi and Ilya, they were benched because they were late to that team function.
Right.
You've got Ovi.
And they have to decide who's going to be the starting goalie when the playoffs start.
And you've got Ovi. You've got Ovi obviously injured.
They're going to finish first in the division because they got a couple games in hand on the Penguins.
Yeah.
And then they'd play the Islanders, which I would hate because I like the Caps, and obviously I like the Islanders, and also I think the Caps would win in 5 or 6 games. The Islanders are fading to nothing right now.
Yeah, bad loss last night.
They've had 3 bad losses in a row. Losing to the Caps is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they lost to the Sabres twice, and then they lost to the Devils last night.
Right.
Talking to the best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. So this week we spent a lot of time speculating about Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to put you in the position of Mark Murphy. And Aaron Rodgers tells you, I'm not playing for this team. I'm not going to step on the field if the GM is still here. What do you do?
Fine, Aaron. That's what you want. We'll start breaking in Jordan Love. I mean, you can't let it. I know it does happen in the NBA because players have so much power. But it's not usually fire the GM or I'm not playing. It's usually trade me. And by the way, can we give a little shout-out to my old friend Tommy Shepard for the deal he made to get Russell Westbrook here? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Frank Robinson, Milt Pappas stuff. I mean, we all knew Westbrook was a better player than John Wall, but I don't think we knew how much better a player he was than John Wall. And I, you know, I know Wall's been hurt and all that stuff, but God, Westbrook is a great player. But I don't think, because you can't set the precedent. Because then you, 5 years from now, Jordan Love is the starting quarterback, and he doesn't like the GM or he doesn't like the coach. And he walks into Mark Murphy, who I hope will still be running the team. Great guy. I'm sure you guys know that. And says, well, you got to fire the coach or I'm not going to play. You can't do that. And by the way, I don't think Aaron Rodgers would ultimately – he might go in and try to do that. But if Mark Murphy calls his bluff, I think it would turn out to be a bluff. Aaron Rodgers knows he's only got a certain number of years to play football.
Yeah, but he
and
strikes me
I don't think
a,
he'd want to skip a year.
He strikes me as I don't know. Like I don't feel like Aaron Rodgers is a bluffer. Like he hadn't talked to his family in a decade. Like that's not
that's
bluffing.
True. You're right about that. But yeah. This is different. Not talking to your family is different than saying, "Well, I might have 3 or 4 more years to play football, and I'm going to give up one of them." Especially since the Packers should be good.
I think the family.
I mean, they were a couple plays from making the Super Bowl last year, and he was the MVP. But, by the way, quick story about Aaron Rodgers and his family, since you brought it up. Mm-hmm. I actually talked to Aaron Rodgers about being involved in the book I did on quarterbacking, 4 years ago now. We had, I thought, a good session. But the one time he went from being, you know, he's really smart and funny and enjoyable, was he said to me, now, how much would you write about my personal life? I said, no, that's not what the book's about, Aaron. It's really about playing quarterback. And he said, well, that's good because you'll never get anything but a bunch of lies if you talk to my parents. I mean, his face changed. I mean, it was really
crazy,
a little scary.
Yeah.
And then I did break the mood. I'll give myself a pat on the back. I said, no, I don't need to talk to your parents. I would love to talk to Olivia Munn because he was dating her at the time. And he laughed and he said, well, you've got good taste.
Yeah, where did right. you?
But then
where
ultimately
did you,
he said no. He turned me down. So
where did you meet him?
In New York at the time he was – being represented by Mark Steinberg, whose name you're probably familiar with mm-hmm. because of Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. And Mark and I had smoked a peace pipe about a year earlier. And when I heard he was repping Rodgers, I said, can you get me a meeting with him? And he did.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
Yeah. And like I said, I thought the meeting went well. I thought he was going to say yes. And then he said no. And interestingly, given how much money Rodgers makes, Mark Steinberg dropped him as a client.
Hmm. Is that a red flag?
I can't deal with him. I can't deal with him.
Oh, yeah. Man, Diva. High maintenance.
I'm telling you, I think
well,
he's
you don't
a pain
think Tiger's high maintenance?
Oh, I'm yeah. sure he is.
He's been with Tiger for 23 years.
Yeah, but Tiger's the biggest cash cow in the world.
Yeah, but
know.
Aaron Rodgers is a pretty big cash cow, too. You're right.
Right.
But
yeah.
but yeah. it takes a lot for an agent to drop a player, especially a player of that caliber.
That's why I think this something could happen. I could see him holding out. I really could see him holding
well,
out.
I,
turn it into
I'm almost sure he'll hold out.
Yeah.
I'm almost sure he will.
I don't see him caving.
He'll go to the wall. But at some point, one of two things will happen. The Packers will just go, okay, fine. Let's see what we can get for him.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll move up Jordan Love. Because I think they're going to want to get Jordan Love on the field in another year. You don't draft a guy in the first round and have him sit 3 years, although – Rodgers did behind Brett Favre.
Exactly.
But normally it's 1 year, like with Mahomes and Alex Smith. So they might say, okay, we got to move the calendar up a year. Let's see if we can get a couple first-round draft picks for him, which they might be able to. Because I think if they did put him on the market, I think there'd be several teams that would be very interested in getting him because, you know, he's 36, I think, but he was great last year. He
oh,
could
yeah.
play another 4 or 5 years. Brady's still going strong at 43.
100%.
So I think they'd get something for him.
He's 37, and he threw 48 touchdowns at 37.
No, he was great last year. He was
he's still
I
in his prime.
Most of the year Mahomes was the MVP, but in the end, I think Rodgers was the right choice.
Yeah.
All right, John, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas, look forward to it. Thanks a lot, as always.
All yep. right, thank
you.
You.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein.
I've had two people tell me that Jordan Love, that they don't love him, so to speak, and that there's a third guy. But then I'm looking, at, I don't even see a third guy on the depth chart.
Jordan-like.
Yeah. They
maybe they signed somebody free agent out of college, undrafted. I don't know.
Two people tell me that. But, all right.
They're not good. If Aaron Rodgers is on the team, Jordan Love's not going to see the field.
Yeah, I mean, why would you have a third quarterback when Aaron Rodgers is your starter?
He unless it's for injury or they're up 40.
Right.
And I know he got injured. He got crunched a few years ago. I understand.
Yeah.
Generally, he's pretty durable. Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens, how it progresses.
48 touchdowns, though. I mean, didn't
the Washington
football team just have 16 from the quarterbacks last year?
Yeah, I mean, he's a monster. I'd trade the whole team for him and just start over from scratch and have Cakes, you know, play middle linebacker.
Well, because I remember a little bit later in the program, Jake Funk's going to join us, the running back from Maryland who got drafted by the Rams. He'll jump on at 8:45. But coming up next, there appears to be a little dispute between Valdez and Drab.
Oh, really?
So we'll get into the details next on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. You know, we put up the Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Van Meter Homes earlier, and I just looked. 64% say they're not fired up to go back to FedEx Field to root for the Washington football team in the fall. Right. Doesn't matter if there's all the optimism, and so many people have been tweeting us saying they'll just never go back, and it just made me think, I mean, Jason and I missed the dinner with Jason Wright. It's an uphill battle, man. It's an uphill battle to change the minds of all these people. I do think if you have a three-game winning streak, that changes some minds.
Sure.
Changes.
Of course.
I mean,
winning solves everything. If you got a winning product and a fun product to watch, people will come back.
I mean, let's make a realistic guess. Let's hope that all this stuff, that this vaccine's working and everything's great, and they're going to legitimately have full capacity, all right? You had to guess. What's full capacity these days there? About 70,000? I don't know. I know
probably 65 to 70, I would guess.
Say 65. Yeah. I would say opening day, you'd be lucky to get 35,000.
It depends on the opponent.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's critical. But, I mean, the home schedule looks
just say,
really
let's
good.
Let's just say it was Seattle.
Say it was Seattle. I still think you'd be lucky to
it
get 35,000 to pay to see the, until proven otherwise. Now, if JP's right, if they go 4-0, it's not, you know, not unlikely, right? There's a very difficult schedule, it appears to me. If they go 4-0 or something,
then it's on.
Then it could start to build. And let's say they go like 4-0 and Dyami Brown, it looks like he's going to be the offensive rookie of the year or something. He's got a couple, you know, big games. Antonio Gibson's going nuts. Fitz is playing great. You could see some momentum building.
According to Wiki, by the way, 82,000 is your present capacity of FedEx Field.
With all the tarps and everything?
I mean, it's listed as 2015 to present, 82,000.
It used to be bigger than that, and then they...
I mean, it was 91.6 was the capacity.
Yeah, they cut some out.
From 04 to 08.
Yeah. By the way, this doesn't matter. Do you pronounce his name Dyami or Dyami?
Don't know.
You know what I'm just going to call him? Brown.
I think it was Dyami, but I could be wrong.
Dyami? I don't know. I have no idea. But either way, I'm trying to give you a scenario where maybe some momentum could build. You know, like Gibson's going nuts, maybe McLaurin, maybe it's simple as that.
Don't forget Valdez's guy, Logan Thomas, maybe a 90-catch campaign.
Low goes nuts.
Anyway, you can vote on the poll at Junks Radio. So apparently there's some sort of beef between Valdez and Drab. And it has to do with Drab ruining Valdez's night. I don't really know what that means. Valdez, can you fill us in?
Well, we teased you guys, so you wouldn't know what it meant.
All right.
But nobody knows.
Okay.
So every night, Drab and I will talk and discuss the show for tomorrow. Maybe throw some ideas around, some bits, guests, stuff like that. And like last night, I was telling him, I said we should go in the studio and grab EB's hat and say, "Got your hat." While he's on TV.
You got a Jake Paul bit?
Yeah, we'll do a Jake Paul bit with you or something. Show your gray hair to everyone.
Right.
And then
I'm not going to react like that, but I would be bitter.
I know, but I just...
The problem is the headphones are over the hat. The execution would be hard.
Well, we'd figure it out.
It doesn't matter. We're just friendly. Like, we just send each other gifts at night about dumb stuff or whatever. Yeah. I mean,
right.
Usually chat, and I didn't know... I guess I ruined Valdez's night.
He ruined my night. What did you do? Because he sent me a text, and then he said, "Hey, EB was jocking me today after the show in private. You would have been jelly. Said he finds me interesting and gets psyched for my thirst of knowledge."
Well, hold on. I don't know if I said that. I said.
Is he making that up?
I read that. My eyes popped out of my head. Because, number one, there's nothing interesting about Draft.
No. Okay. I'm glad you brought that up.
I love the producer rivalry.
That's what I said. What I said to him was, I can't even remember what was happening after the show. But I said, "Come here. I want to talk. You're an interesting guy. And here's why he's an interesting guy. Did you explain to him? He's an interesting. He's a. You don't have no.
Don't I couch mean, it.
How yeah. do couch it? No, I'm going to explain. Why are you interesting? Here's why you're interesting to me. He's got 9 billion different interests. All right. Now, I think most of it is based on, like, he's desperate to find a side gig now, and he wants passive revenue, and he's trying to build a nest egg, and he owes 30 grand to the hospital and everything. So I get it. But this guy, you walk by his office, and he's like hawking something from the station. Or he's, 2 days ago, he was selling baseball cards. Did you know that Drab sells baseball cards? He was talking to some guy in like Ohio, and they were buying, they were investing in some baseball cards that they were going to flip. He's got a whole flipping
thing. I got a buddy who does that. It's unbelievable.
He's all into like Amazon arbitrage. Yeah. He's selling stuff on eBay. He's investing in stocks. The guy, he's into F1. He's into hot dudes. He's into so many things that I actually find him like.
So that's interesting to you.
To me, it's interesting that every day I walk by, I learn something different.
But what made you say it?
Why would that bother Valdez?
It bothers me because
they're jealous of each other.
Yeah. He wants more
I'm jealous because in the 13 years I've worked with Eric, he has never pulled me aside and called me interesting.
Well, he hasn't said that to anybody.
I doubt Cakes has. I doubt Jason has.
We have the same exact personality.
No. Valdez is a simpleton. He likes crabs. He likes the bay.
Yeah, he knows what he likes. He likes what he likes. I'm not gonna hate him for that.
No, I know. But
I have my stocks in my portfolio.
He likes old pro golf.
Eric doesn't think I'm interesting.
You are needy.
I sell everything around this station. And Eric doesn't tell me how cool I am.
Well, Drab did say to me, he said, "That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me." I wasn't trying to be nice. I just said you're an interesting guy. And
thirst of knowledge. Who plays Jeopardy more on this show?
I do have a thirst for knowledge.
I don't know that I said you had a thirst for knowledge.
I think you did.
I think you're adding that.
What is your thirst for knowledge,
Yeah,
Drab?
Let me hear that, Drab.
I don't know that I said that.
I think he's just thirsty.
Drab did tell me recently, because we have a mutual friend who's in on a lot of these investment schemes with him.
Yeah.
And he said, "I like to be around smart people." I can't remember the exact phrase.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's called. Who doesn't?
No, he's got some woman mentoring him now on something that he's doing. He's got
the Amazon arbitrage. Yeah.
He's got a million things going on. I actually do. I told
you guys. I like to learn a little about a lot.
Yeah, I think he's an interesting guy.
Explain the Amazon thing.
Oh, reselling products.
This
online.
Is what happened. Drab placates to EB's likes.
Yeah, he does. He sucks up to him.
He does.
Definitely does.
That's all he does. And Eric's so oblivious that
I'm not. I just noticed it. Yeah, I've noticed
Valdez,
it for years.
Valdez, I find you a little bit needy here because
of course
I'm guessing.
Needy. Of course
I'm guessing.
Needy, I have the same.
Valdez,
pining for my
I'm
attention.
Guessing that Cakes has never said to you, "I find you interesting."
No,
or Jason has never said it. I've never said it.
Eric's
but you want EB to say it to you.
Of course. Eric's the only person in here that we've seen for a year and a half. Of course we want his attention.
Listen.
Do you really?
They're horny for interaction.
I don't even remember why I said it. I was probably going to show you
something. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how desperate I am for Eric's attention. Right. I stole a newspaper from the front desk today because Eric used to bring one in every day. Yeah. And I put it there with his live reads and everything, hoping that he would notice.
Right.
And guess what? He
Nothing.
Didn't.
Right.
I did.
Nothing.
I said something. I did eventually. I actually thought this was leftover from yesterday. In fact, I didn't even know they made newspapers anymore. I just thought it was all online. And
Valdez,
I thought
you
this
wanted,
was an old one.
Valdez wanted to look down and say, "Who left this newspaper for me?"
I think
and then Valdez would jump in and say, "Oh, it was me. It was me."
I think he crumpled it and threw it away.
That's not true.
I'm like the assistant in Devil Wears Prada, putting all the magazines out for him.
He doesn't get that reference.
Yeah.
I know.
I do love it. And apparently, Valdez did steal it. And if you want to steal it every morning and bring it to me, I'm psyched. I get back into my old habit.
Yeah.
This used to be my go-to show prep. Would be a paper, and I just write old school, and then the station stopped paying for it.
Now, is this a bit, or does it really bother you?
Who?
No, I think it bothers him.
Of course. Of course.
They're very competitive.
Yeah.
They're competitive on anything.
Why did I say you're interesting? What were we talking about at that time?
I can't remember.
Probably his passive income and his crypto game.
I do like passive income.
We do talk about investing.
You're probably talking about your daughter doing Instacart or your friend selling hoodies.
All right.
I'm a listener. I listen to you. Valdez has got his own agenda all the time.
What do you mean? What's the difference between you and Valdez?
Let me tell you something.
He doesn't listen?
I know Eric doesn't listen to me because I give him 10,000 suggestions for a podcast that he should listen to, and I ask him if he's ever listened to it, and he goes, "No." And then if Drab tells him one thing, he's doing it 5 hours later.
That's not true.
During the example, last commercial break, Valdez is flaming all of us about this podcast that he's listening to.
Yeah.
When Eric comes in here, I say, "Eric, what are you listening to? Tell me." That's the difference between us.
And then Drab fakes like he's excited about a podcast about TikTokers.
Right.
Which we know he's not.
You know, Drab is the biggest suck up in the world because all he does is ask Eric about lacrosse.
Yeah.
Notice that Drab tries to ask about you. I do notice that. I don't know if he just does that with me or he
That's
does that with
being polite.
What do you mean? Example.
Well, Well, they come in there and he'll say, so tell me something about Stevie's game last weekend or something. Nobody else does that around here.
He'll say, how was Buffalo on your trip up there?
He does placate me that way.
Yeah,
he will
does.
Feign
yeah.
a little interest.
And I've noticed that people don't care about other people. When we were all in studio, he would come up behind you and put his arm like around the back of your chair and watch the videos. Yeah, I noticed that.
It's not fake. I have an interest in other people. And according to Eric, I'm an intellectual.
That's what really rubs me the wrong way.
I didn't say he's an intellectual. I said you're an interesting guy. You have a lot of interest.
Drab's thirst of knowledge is the same as a thumbtack.
I don't know that I said you have a thirst for knowledge.
I think you said that.
Yeah.
That phrase really rubbed me the wrong way.
Oh, a sponge. You called me a sponge.
I did?
Yeah.
Really? I don't remember that. If I said that, I don't remember it. And maybe
it was just a day ago.
Yeah, I don't remember saying that. I remember saying you're an interesting guy, but what I don't remember is why I said it. It was something I was showing you something, and I said, "Here, you're an interesting guy. You might be interested in this."
So was Valdez in the room when you said you're an interesting guy? And just set
no,
to
no. Drab had to rub salt in the wound at night.
He would never say that in front
of Valdez.
Yeah, of course.
All right, I didn't.
Well, now you know it bothers him, so now you got to play both sides.
Well, no, here's the thing: is now I can never get a compliment from Eric because I know that he'll.
That's not true. Hold on. I come in there every morning. I ask you how it's going, what's going on. We have a nice little conversation, right? Typically, don't we, Valdez?
My conversation with Eric occurs at 5:10 in the morning.
Right.
When we're all groaning at each other. we just woke up.
No, we have nice conversations, too. But I didn't realize they were competing for my attention.
I feel
so
like
much.
I'm going to have to watch what I say when I come back. Right, late next week.
Well, just be complimentary, and they really like it.
I guess.
Yeah, they really like it.
It's not often it happens. So it really stood out.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think I was being complimentary when I said you're an interesting guy.
That's the nicest
that's
thing
you
can nice say
That's a very nice thing to
that's
say.
That's a nice thing to say?
Of course.
Yes.
That means you're the opposite of boring.
If someone says you're interesting, that's certainly a compliment.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't necessarily meaning it as some overwhelming compliment, like you're the greatest thing on Earth, but I think you're an interesting guy. You have a lot of interests. He has a lot of interests.
I love this.
He does.
This guy is open to a lot of things.
Drab-kives?
Huh?
He's putting his drab-kives.
Yeah. You have your own drab-kives? Yeah.
I'm going to start bashing Bill Gates soon, so Eric likes me.
Yeah, he'll like that.
We do have some similar taste in that way, too. Maybe that's why. We do have some similar...
We're both a little conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, man, well, truth hurts.
Let's start using DuckDuckGo.
Now you know you have to give Valdez more compliments.
No, because
it's going to ring hollow.
About how his golf went.
You have to ask him about all that stuff.
Yeah, but nobody cares what you shot.
Yeah, nobody cares what you shot, but I ask him, and he tells me how great he's hitting the ball, and he missed a 4-foot eagle putt. And I mean, I'm hearing it all.
Well, I do know this. Valdez is a Terp, and our next guest is a Terp. Jake Funk is going to join us, the running back from the University of Maryland, got drafted by the Rams. He's kind of had a rise here the last couple of seasons, so we'll talk to Jake Funk next here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. We're the Junkies, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Join us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit betql.com. It's Jake Funk, Terps running back, selected by the Rams in the NFL draft, seventh rounder, local kid from Damascus High. Had a bunch of injuries that he's battled, but he's found his way onto an NFL roster. Congratulations, Jake.
Thank you so much.
So let's take a step back. So you're a star running back there at Damascus High, and you head over to the University of Maryland, and then kind of sum it up, you had a lot of injuries, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially in my later years.
Yeah. And how tough was that? Like, I think you still technically probably had like a year or two of eligibility, right?
Yeah, I technically have 2 years left because I had a medical red shirt and then a COVID red shirt.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, the injuries were later on and, I mean, allowed me to, you know, have those extra years.
Just to give your brother some shine, you have a brother who's like a PT, right? Or a therapist, and he hooked you up.
So my brother is a physical therapist himself, and he also started his own company, Rehab to Perform, which is a physical therapy company in Frederick County and Montgomery County as of now. And then they're opening up a new office in Annapolis here in the next few months. So, you know, he's been a guy that has helped me rehab through a couple ACL injuries, and somebody that's, you know, just supported me throughout the whole entire journey. So.
And his brother played. Listen to this. If this is true, I know his brother a little bit because his brother listens to my podcast. His brother played lacrosse at Ohio State. All right. So his father, is this true? Played football at Penn State, and then your mother was a national title winning swimmer at Clarion University. Is that
some
true?
Good bloodlines.
I mean, the bloodlines are a show over there with the Funks.
That's crazy, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, and then you had a younger brother that played at Army. Now, is he still playing, or what's his deal?
So yeah, he's still playing. He's actually in the transfer portal right now, looking for a new home. So,
is there anybody in the family that's just like a gamer that doesn't do sports?
Right.
Not that I know of.
Right. So how? Yeah. How confident were you, Jake, that, and like coming out of high school, you know, you were sort of record setting, but you know, according to the background that I read, still, you know, you got a lot of offers, but not a lot of big power schools, right? And so when you show up at Maryland, are you thinking, hey, the NFL is something that I can still aspire to, or is that something that developed, you know, over the last year or two?
I mean, you come in obviously thinking about the NFL, but like at the same time, like you're young and you just don't know if that will pan out and be you.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the years went on, in the running back room that I was in, four running backs currently played on NFL rosters last year.
Wow.
So you, as the years went on, I pretty much gained a lot of confidence in myself. Because I had competed with all these running backs, and I had, you know, my best friend Ty Johnson pretty much telling me the whole entire time that I'm an NFL running back and to not give up.
Mm. Jake, I want to go back, and this will be awkward to ask, but you're a white running back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There aren't a ton of them. I'm wondering, earlier in your career, maybe in high school, maybe before that, did they want to move you to another position?
Of course. I mean, I've dealt with that my whole life. You know, I've dealt with, you know, that was with my whole recruiting process. Everybody had to take a chance on me to play me at running back. They wanted me to play safety, linebacker. People, you know, say all the time, oh, he's a fullback. You know what I mean? Like, so, and really, you know, all of that is just people looking at my skin color and looking at the position I play and, you know, making us, you know, living the stereotype.
Right. Making assumptions. Cause if they just saw like how much did you jump for the vertical?
Yeah. So that's kind of like the way it is. So I'm 5'10", 205. Huh. So that immediately right there takes away the fullback piece of it. And then I ran a 4.43 40, jumped a 38-inch vertical. Then benched 22 reps on, you know, of 225. Right. So,
don't forget the broad jump of 10 feet 2 inches.
Yeah.
That's exactly. In there too.
Exactly. And then, I mean, on top of that, like an L cone of 6.71. So that all right there just kind of puts me right with everybody else and kind of, you know, blows up the argument of the white running back, I guess you could say.
What was draft day like for you? Who called you? How many people were at the house? Yeah, how'd that
all? I had to be getting nervous because you went late, right? You went in the seventh round. So you had to be getting nervous. I mean, although being a free agent's fine, you can make a team, but you kind of want to be drafted.
Yeah.
Oh, of course you wanted to be drafted, but at the same time, like, you know, I had my friends and my family. My family was very deep. Then I had my close friends who supported me throughout the last couple years. Really, you know, I was very confident that I was going to get drafted, right? Because I put the best resume that I could possibly put out to these teams on why they should pick me. And my agent and I were pretty much just really confident about it. And it was something that, you know, it was like kind of the ebb and flow of the draft, right? So I was the 15th running back taken in the draft. And my agent's talking to me, and he's like, if you were the 15th running back last year, you would have got picked in the fourth round.
Wow.
And not the seventh round. So the ebb and flow of the draft kind of pushed running backs into the later rounds. So if you look at the actual draft itself, a lot of the running backs got picked sixth and seventh round.
Yeah.
We're joined by Jake Funk from the University of Maryland, selected by the Rams in the seventh round of the 2021 NFL Draft. It's a long way between Damascus and L.A. Are you going to have somebody from the family, like, support system out there for you while you're in training camp? And when are you going to head out to California?
Yeah, so I actually have some family in San Diego, which is going to be nice. I'll be able to, you know, hopefully get to catch up with them. I do have another, you know, part of my family who is in L.A., and then I actually head out next week. I head out the 12th, and I'm there for 6 weeks. They have us staying in a hotel out there, and we're going through all the rookie off-season program that they have. So I'm excited about it, you know, I'm ready to, you know, get to work.
What have they said to you?
As in what?
In terms of, like, expectations and what they're looking for.
I mean, they're looking for me to be a core special teams guy, and then pretty much whatever I earn on from a running back position, that's what I earn, right? So I'm, you know, I'm a guy who I think can come in and compete. And first, I got to own the role as being a special teams guy, which I've done before in my college career, so it's not I'm not a stranger to it. And then coming in and just really competing, you know, every single day with the guys in the room and earning my reps on offense to contribute to the team.
Gotcha. Well, it's going to be super exciting.
That's awesome, man. That's
I know
great.
You got a bunch of people here locally that are following you and talking you up. Did I hear you say you're the first guy from your high school from Damascus that's been drafted? Is that true?
That is true.
Right.
Yep.
But then Cake said there's another kid coming up, right?
Well, Brian Breezy. Yeah, he's going to hear.
Yeah, he's coming through the pipe.
Yeah,
he's going to be next. And then, honestly, watch out for Michael Juergens. Michael Juergens has been a 2-year starter at Wake Forest as a center.
Mm.
And he's got 2 more years to be able to, you know, help his draft stock a little bit. So those are 2 guys that are coming through the pipes that I think could potentially play in the NFL.
Gotcha.
Well, Jake, when you're in L.A., make sure you hit Manhattan Beach.
Sure.
That place is awesome, and they got some great restaurants. So if you have an off night, go hang out with Dan Helly in Manhattan Beach.
And by the way, he'll do very well. Just take his shirt off. Just look at his combine pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I remember watching the Minnesota game this year, and you just torched Minnesota. I mean, I can't remember how many yards. You crushed them. That was awesome. Hey, man, the white kid can scoot, Cakes. I'm telling you.
He definitely can.
He can scoot.
Congrats, Jake, and we'll have to be in touch.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Congrats, buddy.
Yeah, Matt.
Congrats,
best of luck out there.
Thank you guys so much.
Yep.
All right, man. Very cool.
Yeah, if you said a guy ran a 4.43, had a 38-inch vertical, and the broad jump of 10 feet 2 inches.
Right.
You probably wouldn't say, yeah, probably a guy grew up in Damascus.
Right. Well, that's after multiple knee surgeries, too.
Right.
Like, think about the long road back.
I was going to say, I would have thought that kid was a Florida State kid a Bama kid or a Georgia kid.
Now, hopefully he gets an opportunity, man, because that's basically what he's been about.
I mean,
college.
He's been battling with some young backs there in Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson, but I mean, maybe he carves out a role like his third down back and gets some reps there. And like you said, he's going to be like a core special teamer for them.
But imagine him. EB, he's 23 and he could have played 2 more years of college football.
That's so crazy. Yeah. So crazy.
Dude, I'll tell you this. When that Damascus squad rolls up to your school, because they would play Magruder. They look like a college team coming off the bus. Like, you look at them, you're like, they brought like 2 buses. They had so many players.
Right. You're
like,
what are they feeding those kids?
You're like, oh my God, we're in for a long night. Actually, a short night, because they just run the ball down your throat. run. You can't stop
them. Coming up next, we're going to switch gears, open up EB's entertainment page, and find out the latest in Hollywood, get the latest celebrity scoop here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.